Welcome to the Table Service Podcast, where we'll dish on all things support, success, and beyond with the people and companies building the future of customer experience. Table Service is presented by Tavolo Consulting, and I'm your host, Jordan Hooker. Shmuel Sokolad currently serves as the senior manager in the Enterprise Accounts Department at B&H Photo. In his work and personal life, he focuses on developing the next generation of leaders. He's seen what people can accomplish when they're empowered and guided to success. Outside of work, he enjoys puzzles, gardening, and spending time with his family, as well as giving back to his community as a part-time Jewish chaplain in a local correctional facility. Shmuel, welcome to the table.
Awesome. Thank you, Jordan. It's so exciting to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. Thanks for taking the time. For our listeners who may not be familiar with you or may, but want to hear more, would love to hear a little bit more about you and what you do. Let's hear the story.
Awesome. Let's do it. So yeah, my name is Shmuel Sokolad. I currently am, as you said, senior manager at B&H in the Enterprise Accounts Department. So I guess we'll dive into work first. So that B&H is a independent photo, video, audio retailer, very heavy in the retail space, but we do have a big presence in B2B as well. And, you know, our department really is focused on those B2B customers. My area specifically is government and education clients, and they're coming to us for their technology procurement. So photo, video, audio, everything in that area. And, you know, we're here obviously to help with the transactions, right? We're here to do the business. But as we know in this field, it's way more than the transactions themselves. It's all about the interaction, and it's how you customers experience your brand and that feeling that they're walking away from the table. Mm-hmm. And that's really what our focus, and it's really how we drive our success, and that's really how we focus our employees and our all decision making, right? Is it everything we try to focus on is it better for the customers and the employees? And that's really a lot, you know, how we go about our day. Awesome. So I've been there a little over 11 and a half years. Definitely been a journey, which is, you know, great for me. I've really been able to grow and expand my career. And I started as an agent on the phone. So I know what it's like to be on that front line, taking those calls, call after call, you know, processing those transactions. Worked my way up, team leader, you know, manager, now senior manager. So, you know, I know what it is. You do that work, you do the work, you get the support that you need, and good things can happen. So that's my day-to-day life. I also have a few other things going on in my world.
Sure.
I'm now part-time chaplain at a local correctional facility. So I'm there to support the Jewish population. It's really fascinating. You know, it really speaks, we can kind of tie this in a little bit, where it, you know, giving back can come out in a lot of different ways. That can come out in leading people, and that can lead people in a, you know, your regular day-to-day life and your work. And it can be leading people in a correctional facility. And I've had really interesting conversations with people and been able to watch growth and development. And I get that in different avenues and different environments. Mm-hmm. And so you get that fulfillment and just, yeah, different areas of your life. You know, I also, as you said, I love gardening in the summer, in the spring and summer. And my kids definitely, well, some of them like helping with it. My son does not enjoy it as much. My daughters love getting dirty in the dirt. So my daughter, actually, I tried planting sunflower seeds in one spot. And after I did, she went with her own shovel and replanted sunflowers. And I ended up growing a 15-foot sunflower because she moved the seed into a different spot. So maybe she knew better than I did.
Incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, we do family time, games, puzzles. It's nice to have, you know, you give back in a lot of ways, right? And that's family too. But you, as you say, you can never pour from an empty cup, and you need to fill your own cup. And that's, you know, family is a big part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, thanks for sharing all that. I think that the all of this that you're doing, I'm excited to jump in and talk about these things and connect dots where those are there. So let's start with just thinking about building a culture of excellence. So, you know, what does that really look like? Obviously, in a support org where you and I spend most of our time, but this certainly applies elsewhere. What does it look like to build those cultures of excellence? And what's the result that we see in that, both internally as a company and then also in the experience that our customers have?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I see culture of excellence, right? It's a great buzzwords, right? Mm-hmm. But what does that really mean? And to me, it means people that are driven for a common goal, right? And it's not just about doing the work. It's about you have a real drive to go the extra mile and do more than maybe what's expected.
Sure.
You know, whoever's had the opportunity to work on a high-performing team knows what that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. And where you and your team members, you are responsible, you're accountable for each other. You know, the team is only as strong as its weakest link, so you know that you can hold each other accountable and work with each other. You know, and driving not just to get the results, but to go further, right? Not just solve a problem, but go beyond this one issue to say, hey, okay, I helped this customer, but why did this happen? Mm-hmm. And how can we make sure it never happens again for another customer, right? And having that as one of your values and something that's really important to you makes such a difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to instill that into others, you know, as a leader, like trying to help people. Okay, yes, I'm helping most my employees are all first time leaders, first time managers. And it's obviously a major transition to go from that individual contributor to that leader role. And it's so much more than just the work itself, right? It's developing people. And what does that mean? And how you have a conversation with an employee about, hey, you know, maybe you could have done this a little bit different, or you did great, but let's try a little extra. You know, and sometimes I have conversations with people and it's like, well, I think they did a good job. And it's like, they may have done a good job, but was it a great job? And what else could they have done to really show the customer that they care about them as a human and not just as a customer and not just as a transaction? Hmm.
What do you think it takes to coach someone to think about moving from that good to great? I mean, you and I spent early parts of our career on the front lines doing this work day in and day out. I think we both know what it means some days to just come into work and just try to get to 5 o'clock and be done with the day.
Totally. But,
you know, what does it look like to coach someone who wants to go from good to great? How do you think we go about doing that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think, well, first, obviously you need that drive, right? You have to have that want and desire for it. And then I think it's about breaking it down for somebody and real live situations. So, you know, if I'm sitting with an employee or either first frontline or frontline supervisor, and it's okay, hey, let's walk through this journey of this customer and see what happened, and let's brainstorm. What do you think? Was this perfect? Is there anything else we could have done? And sometimes we did the best that we could, and that's great. But many times, you know, you sit and you look at it and you're like, yeah, I see that we could have, you know, maybe offered this step one earlier than we did. You know, where you see sometimes when you're in it and you're just in that conversation, you don't realize it. But when you have the opportunity to take that zoom out and say, let's look at this, like, you know, bird's eye top down, from getting from point A to point D, mm-hmm. was that all necessary, right? And in B or C, could we have said what we said in D, but earlier, you know, and be kind of proactively thinking about maybe I could have preempted, you know, this question and given the answer earlier so that the customer wouldn't have had to come back and ask that follow up. So I think it's about, you know, I've found a lot of success in doing that, where, you know, coaching those real life situations and walking through what happened to help people start, you know, training your mind to think in that way. So it's not just, well, I followed the SOP. I did my job, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's great. You're right. And that's what we expect from everybody.
Sure.
But how do we go that extra? How do we give the customer that extra where it's not just, yes, I did my job and okay, I'm satisfied as a customer, but mm-hmm. you walk away feeling, wow, that was such a good experience. Mm-hmm. And we as consumers, well, we have those times, right? Where we're like, ooh, that was awesome. Like I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's, I think, what we want to try to do. Mm-hmm. Something else interesting I do sometimes with employees is tell them, think of a company that you feel like it just gives you a great feeling, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, companies, sometimes people say like Apple or, you know, or some company like that, or Chewy. Chewy's very known for this, you know, and why do you have that feeling? What about that company gives you that feeling? And, you know, be specific and, you know, demonstrate what actions have they done that gives you that feeling, you know, and then say, okay, now how do we take that, what that company does, and apply it to ourselves? Right. And think about, don't you want your customers that you speak to feel that way?
Yeah.
You know, and so going through some of these exercises where, you know, as frontline agents, it's so easy to get, you know, just in that, you know, that road. Just, well, and just, I'm answering my calls, I'm doing it, right? You're doing it all day. And it's so easy to fall in that trap of you know, the, I'm anonymous, not the right word, but just your day to day. And it's we as leaders that need to take that time to really sit down with people and say, stop, let's reset. You know, I get it. This is normal. This is human. But let's reset and say, what are we really here for? And how can I help fill your cup to be able to give it back to others?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think it takes then to thinking about that? You've got employees who maybe are really bought into that and they're constantly looking for those improvements. But then you potentially have some that are kind of stuck in that. I come to work, I do my job, I meet, you know, meet my KPIs. I'm doing the things that I need to be doing. I'm providing a good experience, but maybe don't necessarily have the drive. How do you think we can begin to operationalize some of the things we're learning from those employees who are really delivering that great experience to help our other employees either grow into that or at least begin to develop an understanding of how to deliver it, at least a somewhat better experience?
It's interesting. Yeah. Cause you know, not everybody's going to have that, right? You're going to have those, like those more like those worker bees who are just plugged in and doing their thing. And, you know, to an extent that's fine as long as it's, you know, obviously meeting the, you know, as you said, meeting the KPIs and meeting their expectations. But I think, you know, trying to give them that deeper understanding and, you know, doing what we can to support them and, you know, ask them, what are your goals? You know, why are you here? You know, are you here to just have a job? Are you here to just for the paycheck? You know, and some people say yes. And then it's okay enough as long as it's, you know, not obviously giving any negative experiences. But it, I think that's one of the biggest challenges of leadership is those people that are just, I'm here, I'm doing my thing. Like, what do you want from me? You know, and trying to just continue to instill that level of, you know, extra and give that over. I think that's like really one of the biggest challenges, I would say, of leadership. You know, some things I think is what's, you know, similar, it's kind of what I said before about a team is as strong as its weakest link. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you work on the rest of the picture, well, you know, most people don't want to be that weakest link. Mm-hmm. And they know when they are that weakest link, you know, and they know and everyone else knows. You don't have to tell them or say, you know, by the way, you know that you're the lowest performer. Somehow everybody just knows. Everybody knows, you know. So for some people, that's a real wake-up call to say, I don't, and you have that, and you sit down with them and say, not in a negative way, just say, hey, you know, how can I help you, right? Do you feel that you're performing at the level as everyone else? And how can I help you to give you that extra boost? You know, maybe they need to do some, you know, and sometimes, you know, you always walk that fine line as a leader of like, how much am I your manager versus how much am I your therapist? You know, and you have to balance that. Obviously, like you're not there to do everything for people and really be that figure for them. But you know, in some ways, you are where you say, how can I? What tools can I help you with? You know, maybe you need to do a continuing education course about, you know, inner motivation, and I'm here to help support you with it.
Sure.
So there are definitely ways. But if somebody doesn't have that drive, and they really just don't, it's very hard to change it.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think we can encourage managers that we are managing to coach folks like that? I mean, I think you and I both have experienced what it's like to move into that manager role for the first time. And hopefully you're in an environment where you've gotten some training and some development and you're a little bit more prepared. That was not my story the first time I became a manager. But, you know, how do we help our new managers think about these things and go and learn these things early in their career?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, even before the management role, I think it starts even before then. Right. So if we've identified an employee who's a high performer, I don't mean high performer as in they do the most work and they're the most knowledgeable, because I think we're all past that point where that's the people we promote. Right, it's people that have, in order to identify these people, you have to have leaders that are actively having these types of conversations with their employees, or you as the, you know, senior leader is having that conversation with that employee.
Yeah.
And it's really just identifying, you know, asking employees, what's your goal? Mm-hmm. Are you happy with what you're doing? And that might be fine. Or do you want more? Do you want to grow? And if someone says, you know, someone says, oh yeah, I want to be a manager. Well, why? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to be a manager? And it's like, if somebody says, I want more responsibility and whatever, have the authority. Well, that's not really.
Right.
But it's, you know, the people that say, well, I love helping people on my team. I love when someone comes to me and I can help them with a question. I really love when somebody stops asking me questions so often. You know, where they've learned and they're gaining knowledge and experience that you can see, oh, you know, I haven't heard from this person. Wow, they must, you know, hopefully that means they're picking it up. You know, and those people that we identify as ones who like to give back and like to, you know, help people develop, those are the people we need to identify early and then sit with them and say, okay, what skills do you currently have and what skills do you need? And let me start talking to you about that now. Mm-hmm. You know, where you build in that safety of let's grow while you have a safety net so that you're not thrown in the deep end like the rest of us.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You know?
And, you know, I even do sometimes I do role play with employees where it kind of throws them off because like I pretend to be like that belligerent employee, you know. And I'm like, you talk to me about my time in attendance, right? Like, I can say, oh, you know, well, you know, you really haven't shown up enough. You know, you're coming late too often. Well, what do you care? You know, and like really like throwing them off.
Right.
We've all been there. We've all had those difficult conversations where you're just like, and you're like a deer in the headlights. Like, oh my goodness, why can't you just make that conversation easy for me? And I don't want anyone to ever feel like that. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to ever walk in a room, sit down with an employee, and feel that panic and deer in the headlights. Let me help you. Again, not that it's not going to be stressful or difficult, but you've had the experience and you've gotten the tools to be able to know how to respond and know what to say and not feel like you're on the defense.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a long,
it's great.
I think that's what it is. And it's just giving people the support and, you know, doing it slowly so that people don't feel. And look, anytime you go in, as much support as you get, there is always going to be those feelings of, wow, this is a lot and I'm just trying to catch up. But that's okay. You know, it's okay as long as they feel that there's that safety and that support where, okay, this might be difficult and I'm stressed because I have so many more tasks that I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. But I know that I can go to my manager and sit down and say, hey, I need some help. Mm-hmm. Right, and you've built that level of trust where they know that you're there for them, and they're not going to be like, "Well, I can't believe you didn't look at that report today," you know?
Yeah, sure.
And you're going to help them, and that's why you're there. So identifying people, and then identifying critical core skills, and help training them early, and developing those skills, so it's not a rush and a panic, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, for sure. How do you think we can coach folks who might come to us expressing an interest in management, in leading people, who perhaps have a misunderstanding of what that means, or potentially are folks who just still kind of see that as that's really the only way for me to grow in my career? You know, I have to become a manager, otherwise I'm going to be stuck at this senior manager level for the rest of my life, you know, whatever, senior, you know, associate or whatever it may be. How do you coach those types of folks?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, not everyone is fit for management. And I think that's important to accept and recognize. And there are many ways to grow that branch into a lot of different possibilities, right? So it's if somebody, again, so you have to really, people need to really understand what it is to be a leader and be in a leadership position where it is not easy, it is not always fun, and it's there's a lot of pressure. You know, and you have to really get into it for the right reasons, you know, which would be developing people. You want to give back. You want people to grow. You want to help them learn. You want to help them problem solve. And you know, it's not about taking the most complicated and difficult things and having that glory of I've solved the day.
Sure.
Because the best thing is if a manager makes themselves obsolete, that's the goal. right? Like, I have built a team that is high performing. They know what to do. Yes, they may come for questions here and there, but I don't need to be here, right? My need is about helping them continue their growth. So if somebody's doing it for their own, you know, and some people, yes, I want to grow my career. Okay, that's fine, but why, right? What's your purpose? What's your end game? What's your end goal? And if it's just about money and title, you're in the wrong game, my friend.
Sure.
You're just gonna set yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think just helping people understand and recognize that I'm not trying to discourage you from this role because, you know, just because, like, I want you to be successful. And if you do this is not going to be successful for you. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what would be successful for you.
Yeah.
You know, so then it's about, okay, well, I like to ask people, what gives you the most fulfillment in life? You know, what really fulfills you? What fills your cup? What gives you happiness? And sometimes people are like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody's asked them that question. Sure. You know, they're taking a job because they need a job. Mm-hmm. You know, so trying to work through that with them and say, okay, well, I like solving problems. Okay, that's great. You know, mm-hmm. problem solving is a really important skill and it can be in so many different ways. And there's a lot of, like, you know, you can go into a support role, not as a leader, but as a, you know, that individual contributor who's that subject matter expert. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can advance and grow in your career because people know that you know what you're talking about and you know your stuff and you know how to solve a problem. And that has nothing to do with leading people. Mm-hmm. You know, so and helping people understand that even if that means you leave my team or leave the company, I'm okay with that because it's about you. It's about your growth and your happiness in life. You know, and sometimes we tell people that and it's like, you know, like such an eye-opening thing for people to feel that they're supported as a person and not like, well, you can't leave my team because I don't know what I'd do without you, you know?
Sure.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Like, that's my problem, not your problem.
Sure. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I love having people on my team that I do have that experience of, boy, if you left, like, this would be a huge gap.
Sure.
But recognizing that, boy, that's okay. Like,
yeah,
this just tells me that this person has grown and developed and, like, my efforts have made a difference. And so
totally. I've had that where it was like my highest performing person who's doing great, you know, moved into a different position and it was like, oh, woe to me. But I was also so happy for them that they've grown.
Yeah.
You know, looking back 2-3 years and I'm like, oh my God, this person is a different person.
Right.
And yes, they're giving back in a totally different way that is way more valuable than they were in my team.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I guess as a manager leading teams and having worked in this space for as long as you have, what are the things that really really encourage you in terms of, like, what's the thing that just continues to drive you to do what is hard work with people?
Yeah. Yeah, what really gives me the most satisfaction is watching my people grow and develop.
Yeah,
I had, you know, recent experience where somebody was dealing with a problem, and I was like, "Okay, you let me know. Like, this is yours. Work on it. Let me know if you need any help." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Yikes! I don't know what we're gonna do about this problem." And sure. It was like a whole thing. And they came back and they said, "I got it. I figured out where this product is, and I got in touch with the right person, and it's on the way where it needs to go." And I was like, "Oh my goodness!" And I told them, and I was like, "I am so impressed that you did this. I really didn't know what we were going to do, and you did it, and I'm just beyond impressed." And such a feeling of satisfaction that somebody on my team was able to do that, and if I've been able to give, you know, to them and help them do that, that's like so rewarding and so satisfying.
Yeah.
Just watching and it's also, I think, important to take time to stop yourself and think about, you know, how my people are doing now versus 6-12 months ago. You know, we do performance reviews, we do every 6 months, and sometimes it's like, oh, I need to get through them because they're like stressful and whatever.
Sure.
But it's important to think about it and think about, where was this person a year ago? Mm-hmm. Where are they now? And to think about, wow, they've accomplished a lot this year. And wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's so satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I'm with you. Seeing that growth and that development and that independence that develops there and the opportunity to see that is so incredible.
And I'll give you a different example, not work related, in my in the correctional facility, where it's like I've sat with people and you know, in a correctional facility, obviously this is not like a very supportive and loving environment.
Sure. Yeah.
And to give people to feel that somebody can open up and express difficulties that they're going through and talk about their life, and they're doing it because you've built a safe, supportive space is also incredibly rewarding.
Yeah.
Where somebody can talk about how they grew up on the streets, 11 years old, they were on the streets, you know, they had no role models, they were, you know, just surviving. And luckily for us, I have no idea what it is to be hungry on a street at 11 years old.
Yep.
You know, and I get it. Like, again, not to excuse behavior, right? Like, not people do things, there are consequences to actions, but I can understand your challenge. And for you to be able to share that here, where you, there's nobody else in this facility that you have shared that with. That's satisfying.
Yeah. There's something about becoming a person that people can trust to share with personally and professionally, that people can trust to be a voice and a listening ear. I think it's a really, really great place to be. I think if I can get to that place in my life, and I think you'd say the same, I'll be pretty happy with where I've gotten.
Totally. You know, it goes for family too, obviously, you know, friends. Where your kids can come to you and say, hey, I messed up, or I need some help. No problem. We're here.
Sure.
Where they feel that love and support, or it's not, I need to hide this.
Yeah.
You know, I need to figure out how to solve it on my own. That's okay. That's why we're here, to support you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, love that. As we wrap up this conversation, we'd love to just take a few moments for any last minute things you might want to share that you think we maybe didn't touch on that you'd love for our listeners to hear.
Good question. Let me think about it for a second. I think it's just about, you know, being that it's also the holiday season. So just be recognizing that there are, you know, our frontline workers are out doing the hard work of every day. And I was at recently, literally this week, I was at a Verizon store upgrading my phone, and, you know, it was busy. And like, that's fine. Like, I knew going in, I was like, it's holiday weekend. I know it's going to be busy.
Sure.
But, you know, recognizing and thanking them or saying, hey, I know sure was busy today. I really appreciate your help.
Yeah.
And being patient with them and not getting frustrated and whatever, because you didn't get what you wanted. And, you know, these are people. And we have to remember that these are people we're talking to, and we have to support people in every way that matters.
Yes.
And, you know, the front lines are really what makes or breaks an experience.
Yes.
As senior leaders can decide all the policies and values that we want. But if we're not supporting our frontline staff and helping them implement them, then the customers are going to go away.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so critical to just think, you know, as you just mentioned, I mean, those folks are not the ones setting the focus and the agenda. So for us, particularly people working in this space who know the challenges that they're experiencing, to go in there and just, if nothing else, to just be a smile and an encouragement to someone, it's just a great opportunity year round. Definitely not just holidays, but for sure right now, it's kind of the Super Bowl time for this type of thing. Awesome. Well, if our listeners wanted to connect with you or hear more from you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Best is find me on LinkedIn, Shmuel Sackled. Love connecting with people, love expanding my network, love having great conversations like this with people. It's such a cool, supportive community that we have. You know, we're really, people just want to help each other and just to talk.
Yeah.
So really, I really encourage people to reach out and love to hear from you.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, we'll make sure to include links to your LinkedIn there. And then particularly, I know for you and I, through Support Driven and CX Accelerator and those groups, we'll add those there as we head into the holiday season. Good for folks to have opportunities to connect there. But Shmuel, thanks so much for joining us here at the table. I loved having you and hearing about this and ending the year thinking about the ways that we can really build and grow our teams.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jordan. This has really been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good one.
You too.
You've been listening to the Table Service Podcast. You can find out more about today's guest in the show notes below. The Table Service Podcast is presented by Tavolo Consulting, hosted by Jordan Hooker, music by Epidemic Sound.